Good morning, Barbados. Welcome to Getting Down to Brass Tacks for April 19th. Wow, it's a lovely day outside. If you are indoors and air conditioned, you are really missing a beautiful day. And if you're listening to us in New York, London, Toronto, it's a beautiful Barbados day, and I want to make you feel really, really jealous because it's great outside. The wind. It's just enough breeze, you know that, and just enough sun, so it's not too hot. It's just cool. I'm Sanka Price. With me as my producer is Mr. Ronald Clark, and we're here until 2 p.m., where we'll be looking at various issues. And there's so much to talk about in Barbados today. I mean, we have the unilateral decision by the PSV owners to charge school children $2 instead of $1.50. And we're not hearing anything from the ministry on this, and the Ministry of Transport on this. There's also the ongoing discussion about the relationships and domestic violence, of course, in the wake of that brutal murder on Saturday. And of course, also coming out of that, this whole thing about videotaping such incidents and disseminating that information. It is really, really insensitive to do these things. And I think that people need to think about how they would feel if they saw their relatives in that position. You know, these are just things you just should not do. It's just wrong. And of course, another thing that's ongoing, and it's really taking over just about every discussion in Barbados today, when will the Prime Minister ring the bell? We now seeing that Mr. David Cum is young. He has added his voice to the entire debate, and he's suggesting that the Governor General should get involved. And that should be an interesting debate to have here. On Sunday, I remember Mr. Ezra Alleen wrote on the matter. And normally I would be one who would say, look, it's June 5th. It has to be all over by June 5th. So I'll count back 21 days. That puts me around, 15th, 16th of May, that we should hear something if the Prime Minister goes right down to the wire, as he says. So therefore, just wait. But when I see people like Ezra Alleen and David Comision actually getting involved and they're talking about constitutional matters, then I'm taking another look at it, and I'm sure some of you are. So, as I said, we have a lot to talk about. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Sanka.
Mr. Opener.
Yeah, opening back for today.
How are you today?
I regained my spot.
Yes.
Now, I want to remove politics in my first part of my contribution. There's a gentleman by the name of Astor B. Watts. I think you're familiar with the name.
Yes.
We had a lunchtime lecture goes on, and his name?
Mm-hmm.
Right. He is a good friend of mine. He approached 96 today. Yesterday?
Oh, congratulations,
yeah.
Man.
Now, what I want to say, I understand that I would not be there because I advocated that place a long time ago. I would like him. I learned a lot from him during my affiliation with him, although two of us came from St. Joseph. But I would like him to give those people at this lunchtime lecture that he's going to deliver his journey in politics and his affiliation with the late Earl Walter Barr. And I know if he do such, it would awaken them. Because we heard a lot about conservatism and who were associated with Conservative Party. And I would tell you, he could either deny or tell the truth. He told me he never, ever joined the Barbados Labour Party. He was a conservative all his days until he joined the Democratic Labour Party to run for. That's one part. The other part, he know, and I know, and I want him to tell the Democrats the problem that the late Walter Barr faced after the 1976 election, then they wanted to get rid of the late Earl Walter Barr from George Street. I will let you to give them that political journey. All right? My first thing this morning, I want to deal with two topics, tourism and CLECO. I am concerned, as much as you talk, there's no pertaining to the election day. I bypass that day now, because I read into it, and I know by the 6th of June, we should have a parliament reconvene. I want to ask a question, and you as a journalist should follow this. We heard that people from the Supreme Court is going out to Clico building. That was closed 6 years ago. Do you know who is responsible for Clico building?
Tell me.
I don't know. I am asking questions that I'm here this morning to ask.
But the judicial, all that came under the judicial management. The property, all the Clico properties in Barbados.
Yeah.
When the judicial manager was looking after everything.
And if the manager is managing assets belongs to the Clico policy holders, you don't think that they should have known how much the Clico building would be rented for and who gives them authority to rent the building? That is one question that the public should know, because it is not the judicial manager property. It is the Clico policy holders policy property, right or wrong.
I can't agree with you there. Neither can I disagree. But the whole thing about it is that this is an emergency situation. This is an emergency situation.
Mm-hmm.
The health of workers is being imperiled, and you need to find some place, preferably in close proximity, to be able to deal with the situation efficiently and effectively. So what they have done is that they have chosen that building, which is literally next door to the Supreme Court building, which, by the way, was built originally by Clico, if you remember. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they're going to do whatever renovations need to be done and to move into it. Now, that is what needs to be done when there are emergencies. It's just like the situation with the prison. Part of the prison was burnt down. You take effective action and you deal with it. These are things that you have to do in terms of emergency.
Okay.
And so that the question that you ask, which is very relevant, and how much is the rent going to be and that sort of thing, that is extremely relevant. But at the same time, it is... If you are dealing with a situation, an emergency situation, that then becomes the secondary concern. What needs to be done needs to be done.
All right, let me go on now. Now, you could recall, because I like to take careful notes. I believe in perceiving issues. I learned that from my English teacher, Gordon Seeley, who taught me very well how to perceive. Now, could you recall that the General Secretary of the NUP and discussing the Supreme Court talk about the environment where the building was built? Would not the same Clico building inside the same environment that she was critical of, as you made mention about the environment where the Supreme Court was built? You can remember that?
I can't recall that.
Listen would remember what the General Secretary had to say at the closure of the building. Now, my next point, because it's going to be fast, you don't tell them to listen to that way, like to open the bat in. Now, let us deal with tourism. Now, as I said, it was connected very closely in those days with the Democratic Labour Party. I was able to hear Abar telling us what he would like to see. And the thing was to generate income and relieving the taxpayers of that heavy burden of the tax. That's why he went into business, owning buildings, take for instance the Hilton, that was to bring in income. Now, if you are arguing, let us debate it, if you are arguing that you having an influx of tourism, of tourists coming to the country, and the taxpayers is paying these agents to go and seek to bring in tourists to the island, you don't think it would be feasible for you to make sure that your hotel properties be filled with some of these tourists instead of selling the taxpayers' properties? That's another question. Could you give me an answer on that?
Sir, the government of the day has, they have in front of them a number of things to look at. And they have made the decision that it is in the best interest of Barbados to relinquish the Hilton Hotel. There's no answer that I or anyone else, for that matter, can give you as to their reasoning. But they will tell you when the time comes. That is what what the Minister of Finance has said. That is what the Minister of Tourism and International Transport has said. They both said that in due time, Barbadians will be briefed as to on all the details regarding the sale.
And my last point is where education comes into being. Mm-hmm. And this is where, that's why I tell you, this country got to go through a series of discussions and not being spoon-fed with political propaganda by political parties. Now let me deal with the university. This is my last. The University of the West Indies is a combination of the West Indian islands so as to make provision for tertiary education. Each country, each island subscribes to the university. Right or wrong? Right or wrong, Sankar?
You go ahead. I want to hear the full point. You probably respond.
Each Caribbean countries that have students there have to pay for their students. And that was agreed upon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's cheaper for a Barbadian student to attend Cave Hill than for a student from St. Vincent to attend Cave Hill. And let me put it in simple form that Barbadians could understand. When a student comes from St. Vincent, you have to pay for what you would call where he lives while he's a student here. Right or wrong? The government do that. In Barbados, the student that goes to Cave Hill, the government of Barbados do not have to pay that cost because they live here. How come that you are going to tell the public that the reason you cannot pay for these students is because you are in financial crisis? And it is a worldwide thing. So why this worldwide thing in effect St. Vincent that got to pay for the resident of the student along with you have to give him money to what you would see cause him to survive, what is called giving feed, giving money to survive off of. All of this, the other countries are paying. And in Barbados, where the students of Barbados don't have to pay for food, they don't have to pay for housing, but yet a government of Barbados can tell you that they cannot pay. That is the end of my story. And I'm thankful for you allowing me to air this view this morning. Thank you, Sankar.
All right, sir. I will respond to you after this commercial break.
FAS Promotion says thank you to the sponsors of Barbados Reggae Festival 2018. Our title sponsors, Digicel, Magnum Tonic Wine, and Mount Gay Black Barrel. Our platinum sponsors, BTMI, Remy Martin, 1738 Royal Accord, Hot 95.3 FM, 98.1 The One, Q100.7 FM, Slam 101.1 FM, and CBC TV. Our gold sponsors, Johnny Walker Black, Perrier Jouet, Absolute, Banks Beer, Burger King, and Turbo. Our associate sponsors, Coca-Cola, Guinness, Gaia, Douglas Hill, Viva, Häagen-Dazs, Neutrogena, Fresh Premium Water, Campari, Wabisco, Purity, Fruta, Glacial Ice, CMC, Barbados Transport Board, MQI, Brunswick, Ticketlink, National Cultural Foundation, Life After Gravity, Seven Star Entertainment, Al Hart, PR Incorporated, Liat, The Caribbean Airline, The Friends of the Festival, A-List Auto Experience, Screenplay Advertising, Biz Needs, iExchange, Fast Cash, Acro Beach Resort, Soul Addiction, Jeans Inc., JT's Beauty Shop, Online Clothing Store, Ooch Boutique, Fifth Avenue Fashion, Dallas Discount, Urban Vibes, Rough and Tough Boutique, Line and Length Barbershop, Hawk Wong Chinese Restaurant, Broad Street Men's and Women's Designer Wear, Sedell's, Ader Mix Boutique, Megawatt Energy Inc., City Cab Barbados, and Zulu International. For more information, stay connected or follow Barbados Reggae Festival on Facebook and Instagram.
Scotiabank invites you to a free seminar on cash flow management for small business on Tuesday, April 24th from 6 p.m. at the Courtyard Marriott Hotel. Learn how to finance your business, develop cash flow strategies, and draft a cash flow forecast. You won't want to miss Scotiabank's free seminar on cash flow management for small business, Tuesday, April 24th, 6 p.m. at the Courtyard Marriott. Register by emailing marketingce@scotiabank.com by Monday, April 23rd.
For business surprise, big or small, at Brilliant Metals, we have it all. Now is the time for you to fence your property with galvanized green, white, or brown chain link fencing and our brown band galvanized pole pipes, which are the longest lasting. We will give you a free estimate too on all your fencing materials.
For building supplies, big or small, and brilliant metals, we have it all. And brilliant metals, we have it all.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Remember the good old days? Yesterday's classics, like flat top haircuts, bell bottom pants, jerry curls. Fast forward, low fade haircuts, skinny fit jeans, Remy weaves. Everything has changed, except the five legends of KFC. Six pieces of the original recipe, three extra tasty strips, mashed potato, coleslaw, and buttermilk biscuits. Let's enjoy more. The five legends of KFC. It's finger licking good.
On Saturday, April 28th, get the kids and come on down to
ICBL Family Fun Walk and Run
at ICBL Roebuck Street with this year's theme,
Champions for Charity.
Visit familyfun.icbl.com to vote for your charity of choice and stay tuned to our Facebook and Instagram for more details. Be sure to register online or sign up at our head office.
Be a champion for charity today.
Sponsored by Alvasco, Upbeat the Store, Hilton Barbados Resort, Mango Bay Barbados, Sun Isle Technologies, Island Races, Sabisco, and the BADMC.
Welcome back to Brass Tacks. The last caller was making the point that Caribbean governments were actually paying for their students here at university in terms of residence and whatnot. As far as I know, and I can be speaking under correction, but as far as I know, the families, those students actually take care of their residency. It is the actual education costs, the tuition costs and whatnot that their governments pay. Actually, I have here a note now from on WhatsApp saying the call is quite wrong. Other Caribbean governments don't pay all of the expenses for their students at UWI. And as I said, I was trying to make some calls during the break to check that out, but I think that what this person is also saying is correct. As I'm on the WhatsApp, let me just respond to this one. This person is saying, you said this morning taking pictures of these incidents is wrong. The incident I was speaking about was involved that of Onika King, who was there bloodied and dying. And the person is saying, but yet still, if you don't have the evidence, you will hear it wasn't me. I wasn't there. She hit me first, like the picture with Princess Margaret girl, school girl, explained that. Now, the point I was simply making is that in the case of Miss King, she was bloodied and she was dying. Fine, somebody videotapes it for whatever reason. That's their interest. My problem is you're circulating this thing. And I think that this is just wrong. It is insensitive. That is my view. You could have your own. In terms of a situation like with the Princess Margaret schoolgirl and the who showed remarkable restraint and even like fights and whatnot, when you videotape those things, yes, that is evidence. My difficulty is the whole circulation of a lot of these things. But the problem that, and I guess you can come back at me and tell me this, but the problem is that after you send it to your good friend, who then sends it to their good friend, and it goes on and goes on like that, so it's all over the place. That's one of the difficulties with these things. And, you know, all I am simply saying, and I will always stick to this, is how would you feel if that was your sister? How would you feel if that was your mother, your cousin, your aunt? How would you feel? You know, it's not nice. That's my view. You're entitled to yours as well. This is Sanka Price. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well.
Okay, fine. I had to drag myself to make a call today because with 44 days gone past, since the parliament was dissolved, I feel really in my mind, and I believe I hear from a lot of people too, what more to be said now? We just want an election, Mr. Prime Minister. There's nothing more to be said. But I think the Prime Minister does this psychology or attempting to. You know, like in some games, basketball, for instance, you have to go for a timeout and try to, you know, stop the momentum from flowing. I honestly believe that's what he's doing. He's trying to slow down the momentum. But I hope the people in Barbados will punish him for at the polls, that is, for every day extra he stay away from calling the election. I'd like to start by saying congratulations to about three people in the public sector. We're one former public sector. He's retired now. But let me start with the ministry, the PS and the Ministry of Tourism and the International Business. Then she wrote a letter to the CEO of the company that owns the Hilton, that runs the Hilton. As well, Miss Cheryl Bennett Ennis. In her matter too, when she wrote a letter to the her permanent secretary regarding the matter at the Villages, Coverley, and the former chief technical officer from MTW as well, Mr. Frank Thornhill, when he wrote concerning the matter, that said matter at Villages at Coverley, the entrance. I'd also like to congratulate you as well on the excellent work that you continue to do in investigative journalism. And the one I would like to comment on, the one when they said with the Hilton seal, when they said the permanent secretary wrote to Mr. Williams. There are a couple of things here I find very interesting, or one could say troubling, and it's following a pattern to my mind as far as this government is concerned. Now, the government seems as though that they have a list of people that is on the favored list. Now, and it also seems as though it's a conflict of interest. In the case, in this St. Hilton case, you got a Mr. Michael Yearwood, who is the attorney. And if you remember Mr. Michael Yearwood, he had a couple of things. He was also with the board, the inquiry at Arizona School. He was also with the PSC. Hearing when they informed the three ministers not to attend the meeting. He was also the chairman of Urban. He's, as I said, the lawyer for the same company that runs the Hilton. And recently he was made a QC. That's good. Now, when we look on the other hand, we got a Mr. Henderson Williams, right? He's a DLP candidate in the city. He's the CEO of both companies. Regarding the Hilton.
All right, sir, the point about it is, I understand the point, your connection you're trying to make. I'm going to cut you there because I see where you're going with this, and I understand where you're going with this, and I can't allow you to go any further with this. All right? Understand that. Speak in general and go ahead. Oh, he's gone. Let me just go off the WhatsApp before I go back here. A person is saying, good morning, sir. My question is it official that school children are to pay $2 on the PSVs? Sir or madam, I don't know who it is who sent this in. The PSVs decided that they were going to collect that extra 50 cents from school children. It has not been given the sanction of the Ministry of Transport and Works. As I said, it's a unilateral decision. There's an article in one of the papers, well, online today, where the actual drivers are saying that nobody's really complaining about it. Although there are one or two people in that article, in terms of a parent and one child, saying that it has made a difference, that additional 50 cents per day has really made a difference. So it's a unilateral decision. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes, good
Hello?
Morning. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nobody complained about it, but I called to complain about it.
Ah, good.
You know, Mr. Price, the thing that got me right
mm-hmm.
is how business is being done in Barbados all of a sudden for the past 10 years. It hurts me to see that for years you hear things are legislated in Parliament. You hear you have 21 days, 30 days. You get a countdown. It come on GIS. And the normal procedures of how things are done in Barbados, we're accustomed to that normal procedure. The thing that have me know, how could a private sector, not private sector, how could a PSV, and how comes we didn't know before that the PSV has the authority to get up in the morning and say that from today, bus fares for school children will be $2? How comes this thing ain't gone the normal custom? No.
All right, before you move on, I'm speaking totally under correction. I do not know, but I'm going to hazard a real guess here. And I was trying to reach Roy Raphael. If Roy is wrong and he can call in, please call Roy. But I suspect that it was a decision that they took way back then to charge school children a little less to basically encourage business for themselves. I suspect that. I have no evidence of that, but I suspect that. Because the fare really is $2 for everybody in Barbados. Everybody.
But
$2.
Mr. Price, I understand what you just said, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing that have me is our customs. The things that we're accustomed to. You know when you just wake up one morning and change something without doing it the way you're accustomed doing, that's what offset people. No.
Yeah, but that's the point. Hold on, but that's the point. If, as I understand it to be, as I said, I cannot verify that, so that's why I'm speaking under real correction. My understanding, what I have been told, is that in the early days, the PSV decided, in a way to keep encouraging business, because remember, in 2009 or 2008, when this administration came in, they decided that all the school children will travel free on the buses. So one of the things that the PSVs did was to create an incentive to keep the school children coming was to charge $150 instead of the $2. That is what I was told. How true it is, I don't know. Okay, that's why I want to talk to Roy Raphael. So they made a decision back then to take less money to keep the, as a marketing tool, a loss leader then, in the whole marketing, in the supermarket business, is called a loss leader, right? Mm-hmm. So they've made that decision. That is my understanding. That's what they did. Therefore, it is within their right now that they can do this unilaterally because they also made a unilateral decision back then. So that is what I've heard. As soon as we get Roy Raphael on the line, we will try to get that clarified.
But you see, the thing is, Roy or Russell, that I really want here, you know, the person that I want here speak on this is the Minister of Transport. The reason why I want here on it, because I believe for years through the ministry, even though Roy or Russell decide that this is what they want to do, I believe that it is the Minister of Transport's portfolio. I might be wrong because the whole thing is going. I think it's his portfolio to come and say, well, from the 21st of January, all school children will be paying $2 on the transport. I think that is his job and that is the government's job. Even though it is under the PSV and that's what they want to do, the procedure, I think, is to go through the ministry and let the ministry be the person that advises Barbadians that their children will be paying $2. I don't like this foolishness PSV coming telling me that I got to pay the $2 because we are not accustomed to that kind of thing. Let go to the ministry, let the ministry, let the government be the person and not send this to the school children and let it be done that it comes. How come all of a sudden these things are sneaking upon you and these things just dropping down on you just so? I do not, Mr. Price, I do
poor,
not like the whole thing going
on. Poor governance. But tell me, how is this impacting you? You have children going to school?
I got two children.
How is this impacting
you? As I was explaining to them yesterday, I was telling my children, because they asked me a lot of questions, I was telling my children, look, for the last 10 years is what we're working for. I supported you 1 and 2 with this money that I get in. You are 13 and 14 now, and they're going to support you with the same money, plus another daughter, plus everything gone up. So they asked me how we're getting it done. I tell them, well, sometimes I got to take from here to put back there. This body calling me and telling me that I owe them, but I know I owe them. So when I call them, we try to go and give them something. The thing is, as Barbadians, we are operating with the same. Could people understand this, Mr. Price? We are operating with the same amount of money that we were getting for 10 years with all of these increases. So even though you may see some children catching minibuses because they have to catch the minibus, everybody can't afford to catch a minibus. And the other children that would have probably sneak across the terminal to go and catch the van, they ain't got a choice now because the bus is not coming. Now, if you had buses running, just watch the PSVs, you know, and see how wicked this thing is being done. If you had transport board buses running where children had an opportunity to catch the transport buses, these people won't want the $2. But because you have no buses in the bus terminal, you force the children out to these ZR stands and into the minivans to come forward to do this with the children. And I liken this behavior of the government to a person that living in Barbados and deciding that they're going overseas and say they're going to send for the children and the mothers and the fathers. And when they get overseas, they don't care enough about you and they got you still here struggling. And I liken that how to hold the LP treating the young people today. Now, I tell you this, this could have never happened under David Thompson, or it could have happened under BLP. It could have never happened under David Thompson, nor it would have never happened under the Barbados Labour Party. Because even though I voted for the Democratic Labour Party 3 times, I sit and I observe how the BLP was running. And I look and I see now, anybody in the Democratic Labour Party, apparently they could get up and do anything to the people of Barbados. And there is nobody to come and say anything about it. And I say, Mr. Price, I do not like it. The minister stood back for too long. And he is the person that in charge of this. Why are they doing these things to the young people?
All right, sir.
Why are they doing it to young people?
All right, sir. Roy Raffia, actually, the story, I didn't get this far down. The story is on page 5 in today's Daily Nation. I apologize to the people at The Nation. I should have looked in The Nation first because The Nation normally covers everything. So, page 5 of today's Daily Nation, Roy Raffia.
I saw that, you know, Mr. Price. I saw that, but I was looking for a message from the minister. I saw what Mr. Raffia put in the paper around 4 o'clock this morning and I was reading it. But I spent the paper looking for a comment from the minister. Is he that I want to hear? If this thing is legal, if he's sanctioning it.
Yes, but having read, I've read Roy Raffia, while you were speaking, I was reading what Roy Raffia said, okay? And I mean, he's given a nice polished answer, as I would expect him to. But the reality is the PSVs dominate the transportation sector, the public transportation sector in Barbados.
Why do they dominate it?
They dominate it because there are not enough transport board buses running. If the PSVs, and Colin, how you give out all these licenses. So if the PSVs dominate it and they just make a decision that they're going to do X, Y, and Z, they can do it. No, they are within the law. Because as I said to you earlier, they took a decision that they would charge $150, but the real cost is $2. That's the cost that the government has agreed on for every passenger traveling on public transportation. It is $2. So they are in their right to do that.
I feel your pain because I am
listening to you, and based on what you're saying and based on my quick calculation, you are now looking for an extra $10. $10 in transport costs for the PSVs, because you have 2 children, and that's $1 one way and $1 the next in the evening. That's $1 extra. That's $2. That's $10 over 5 days for them to go to school extra. And that's assuming they only take one bus. Okay?
CMP.
And you're still getting the same pay, and wherever you go, because every time I go into a market, I see something else going up. So I really understand where you're coming from, and I think that you are speaking for all Barbadians, because this is the ripple effect of when our whole public systems start going wrong. It is people like yourselves, people who are working hard, trying to make ends meet, who are trying to raise a family, who are trying to do the decent thing in life, who get squeezed. And this is the last point. Yes, you go ahead.
You hear he said that he had to pay $17,000 on vehicle insurance and all of that?
Yeah.
Yesterday? Mm-hmm. You know why they had to pay $17,000? They didn't pay $17,000 because the insurance wake up one morning and decide to put $17,000 on them. They are paying $17,000 plus because of their bad behavior and on the public road and the way how they deal with people that's why they should be paying more money. Or, if you look at it, they should be paying less money according to their behavior. But because of the way they're driving, the reckless things that some of them do, mm-hmm. the insurance decide that they're going to up their pay. So why they don't try to tell the insurance, well, look, insurance companies, we're going to try to clean up the nasty act. And then try to see if the insurance will lower their insurance or the government will try to lower the permits or something. Why you come telling people about 50 cent move? Or you, Mr. Price, you could get 110 out of 100. Could you get 110 out of 100?
I'm with you, sir, and I understand you, and I feel your pain. And all I can say, sir, is just hold on because, you know, things can only... I would like to think that things can only get better in Barbados. I really would not like to think that things would get worse because there are too many stories like yours that I hear.
All right, you have a good day, man.
Thank you very, very much, Rastax. Just before I go back to the phone lines, just let me read these couple of WhatsApps because we have so many coming in. Mr. Price, that video should never have been circulated. This is the one of Onika King. People are going to stop this nonsense when they get into serious trouble, and it is coming soon. There's always an audit trail, this person is saying. And this other person, they're also referring to the video. Mr. Price, you know what's worse is that how Miss King's mom found out. Can you imagine how that feels? I'm her cousin, by the way. My condolences to you, cousin. We go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Good morning.
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
You
dropped out just now. Come.
Oh, I dropped out. Oh, yes. I wasn't sure if you dumped me.
No, but okay. Just don't go down that line, please. Just line. Speak it generally. You don't have to be so specific. You don't need to be. You made your point, okay? Mm-hmm. But you were trying to develop the other point, so I really wanted to hear what the exact point you were trying to develop in. Go ahead.
Oh, no, because it's a whole link in the trail that I was trying to bring out, right? Because, like, what's happening to the said Hilton, to my mind, happened or is happening with the BNTCL, wherein that, like, the lawyer from the BS.
You're trying to make the contacts with the lawyer, okay? And you're just trying to show that the same legal people are involved in a number of these things. That is basically your point. Correct?
That's one. Okay. But another, a motive of Aranda as well. How this administration does its business. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I said, with the sale, you know, it had the issue there with the not recent valuation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically selling the property at a fair size sale. The sad thing I remember clearly with the BNTCL sale. Now, the BNTCL had their assets were valued at $140 million assets. And they were selling it or giving it away to Salt for $90 million. And even in the permanent segment, with the thing said, the Hilton is an ongoing entity. So you have to consider the profitability and the projected... the projected revenue. That's the sad thing that I always felt should have happened with the BNTL sales.
All right, let me throw this one here at you.
Mm.
The impression being given, certainly by you and several people, is that the government may be doing something that they should not be doing. That is the impression. But could it be, could it be, and you're talking about modus operandi, could it be a situation where, because of the way the government operates, it gives that impression, but there really is nothing wrong?
No, I'm not saying this at all. I'm sticking to what is my impression. I'm not saying what you.
But I'm sticking isn't to it my possible? Impression. But isn't it not possible that? Just because they do not really say anything much until the actual item is revealed in the media, or it comes up and they just say, by the way, don't forget, in terms of the Hilton sale, in the budget, May 30th budget.
Right.
It was mentioned. The Minister of Finance, Mr. Sinclair, said that the government's intention was to sell the Hilton. So he announced to the public for the first time, this is what government's intention was. Right. Of course, we never heard anything else until the story broke that it was being sold for $80 million US dollars. And that's where the debate came up in terms of the national insurance and whatever came up after that.
Right.
Now, but the whole thing about it is that that was announced. Also, they also had announced that they were planning to sell the BNTCL. So, I'm doing is trying to counter here what we keep getting everything.
I think you're missing Mark so wide, because listen, right? They announced the cabinet, even in your thing, the cabinet agreed to sell the Hilton for $80 million US dollars. They agree that it's a cabinet decision, right? The said thing with the BNTCL, the cabinet agreed to sell the BNTCL shares for $90 million. And they even said that they turn around and they make a U-turn on it. So they are conscious in what they're doing, but it's a pattern. It's a trend. Now, if you would notice, I don't want to go down that line, but I guess everything will pan out in the future. Now, I remember Mr. Kelman when Mr. Gomeson tried to get the pushback, get the government to do the right thing with the Hyatt Hotel. Mr. Kelman came out and called him an enemy of the state. I hear Mr. Kelman say a word on his, but he's a cabinet minister. When you have the two jewels in the crown that are being given away at a fire sale, what would he consider those people that are doing this? They're not enemy of the state as well?
We shall hear, I guess, from Mr. Kelman when he chooses to call. Sir, you've made your point,
right,
and
thank you,
I thank you for calling back. Just read this WhatsApp. Mr. Price, Sanka, thank you for calling my name. My issue with the camera person in the mall on Saturday, the hit and run driver this weekend, and earlier in the year, the attitudes of young female drivers, the aggressive style of our young boys, and I can go on, is this is how Barbados has changed. Some of us, as usual, are pretending that this is the same Barbados, but it is not. And that's one person's feeling about this whole thing. Another person here writing on a totally different matter, saying elections should be a set date. When your time is up, it is up, and you will not have all this craziness. Another one is saying, Mr. Price, in reference to Mr. Cummins Young, do you think that in 2018, an old lady living in Britain through her representative here should have any influence in when our elections are called? Are we truly independent? We go back to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm well. And you?
Not bad. Good. I'm calling with the minibus.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
I would like the Minister of Transport and Works to come on the air and clear this.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead. You said you'd like the Minister of Transport and Works to come on the air and clear it up?
Yeah. How come they raise it now to 50 cents more?
But it was always $2.
I taught children they're always $1 and the bus series, like 50 cents, which would be $1.50. The adults used to pay $1.50.
All right, let me just read this on page 5 in today's Daily Nation. Get your copy. I called to clear, this is Roy from Roy Raphael. He is the head of the Alliance Owners of Public Transport. Mr. Raphael said, and he was speaking to Corey Lane yesterday on Brass Tacks. He said, I called to clear the point on the bus fare issue. Let me make it clear that bus fare in Barbados is $2 across the board, and over time, what we would have been doing as responsible owners is charging school children $1.50, which we could no longer absorb because of high insurance costs, high court costs, and so on.
Right? Then bring the court costs on instead of going to abide by the law and rot in the court case.
He goes on to say, we have made countless attempts to the Ministry of Transport and Works and the Ministry of Finance to give us duty-free concessions on our vehicles, and we are at the point where we don't know if we are going to get it. We had a meeting with the relevant authorities to make sure that we are well within our rights, and we are. So we said effective, and that was on Tuesday, that school children will now have to pay $2 across the board. We said to our drivers and operators to be responsible as well, and if a child doesn't have the $2, not to leave them stranded by the road.
The mechanized, if they got $1.50, the mechanized, they may change them for 50 cents more.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't start playing the nasty music and start drinking and all kind of thing that what they miss the mechanized for.
So how
is... they got 40 children going to school.
Uh-huh.
No transport.
What are their ages?
Secondary school.
The secondary school. So how much more, this 50 cents, I mean, in terms of money, how much more money you're going to have to pay now?
A happier. $8 every morning.
$8 more every morning or?
And evening. Then I get two vans.
And you're working for the same salary?
The same salary.
I see.
You know what? All this come around, election in the year, so I want them to vote for them. But tell them they might be okay. Good afternoon.
All right, just let me read another one. Good morning, Sanka. They are wrong. This is the PSV. Only government can regulate bus fares in this country, and what they have done is illegal. The same way they get out and use the cell phone issue can be addressed by the ministry. This too must be addressed. The bus fares are $2 for adults and $1.50 for school children in uniform. It was never a blanket increase to $2 across the board. Mr. Raphael is incorrect, and they know this. Mm-hmm. Wow. Another one. This was discussed yesterday, and it was stated that the bus fare was increased by 50 cents, not everyone to $2. That is what was discussed yesterday. It was not a decision of the Minister of Finance, and therefore it has nothing to do with if the people are complaining or not. This whole issue, in fact, let me just read this other one. Tell that man the Prime Minister wake up one morning and carry us to the bone without calling elections. So the minibus men doing the same thing, and I agree with them. And this last one here. Sir, in all due respect, that the caller is saying that things are being done with our time for the public to observe. Okay, this person is basically saying that there seems to be no proper procedure in whatever is happening in Barbados, and he's really giving his views on that, and most of that I cannot read, right? And then this person is saying, if a child rides on a ZR after a certain time, they have to pay $2. And the problem is that there are no buses, so the children have to catch a ZR so that they, as parents, do not have a choice but to pay this money, and it is unfair. Brass Stacks, we have on the air Mr. Morris Lee. Morris, are you there? Hi, Morris.
Hello. I'm sorry. Barbados?
Yes, this is. This is the... Can I get on the brass stacks?
Could I be on the air, please?
You are on the air.
Okay, could I say what I have to say now?
Yes, go right ahead.
I think we need some clarity, right? On when or if the children should pay the $1.50 or the $2.
You said we need clarity.
Yes.
How do you mean clarity? You mean the Minister of Transport and Work should say something? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes, please. Yes, please. We're not sure if what Mr. Raffert said is the right thing or the wrong thing. So some of the parents still have problems understanding it. I heard it in a conversation yesterday.
So you have children going to school as well?
No, please. I'm just concerned.
You're just concerned?
Yeah, because I hear parents speaking about if it is $1.50 or if it is $2. So they want to hear from the minister what it really is.
Okay. But what do you think about the decision to do it?
I don't think it's a good decision right now.
Why not?
Because I have some parents that have more than one child going to school.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my biggest problems.
All right.
Because sometimes it could be three. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can get the other person that is going to catch the minivan. You can't stop that. Mm-hmm. That should be in the bus. People will talk about that, but then you got to consider those that have two and three. You have to look at it from both angles.
So apart from, do you actually work? And you have children that you go to school, or you're just a concerned individual?
No. I don't have anybody going to school right now.
Okay. All right. Well, look, thank you for your call. We will certainly be trying to get some sort of clarification. Thank you very much for your call.